They say James Franklin can't win the big one, but don't look now. But he's won two playoff games. Our initial reaction to Penn State, Boise State, and the Fiesta Bowl right here on the College Football Power Hour. Welcome in to the College Football Power Hour in a special game recap edition. Boise State, Penn State. Penn State takes a 31-14. That's enough of me yapping. Adam Brenneman, this is your show. This is your team. And this is your opportunity to talk your talk and do your victory lap. So, my friend, you have the floor.
Well, Happy New Year. There's no better way to bring in the new year than a Penn State victory. I mean, let's be honest, a victory that Penn State needed to have. And quite frankly, if they didn't, I'm not sure things would have been all that happy in Happy Valley. But I think a big win for Penn State, probably the biggest game in recent Penn State football history with a chance to go to the semifinals. Obviously, they clinched that spot now. I think the story of the game is that Penn State got more plays from their All-American, Tyler Warren, than Boise State got from their All-American and Heisman Trophy winner, Ashton Jeanty. That's the story. Tyler Warren with two touchdown catches that really were the deciding plays in the game, you know, compared to Ashton Jeanty, who could never get anything going for a variety of reasons. Boise State's offensive line was outmatched in this game big time. And the 13 penalties and the two field goals are just too much to overcome not being able to run the football for Boise State. So that's the story of how the game happened. I think, though, that the important thing to focus on is that this is not just about Penn State having the easiest playoff path. This is a Penn State team that's clicking at the right time. And this is not just about playing SMU and playing Boise State and winning those games. This is a Penn State team that is playing really good on all three phases. They have a quarterback who's playing like a top quarterback in the country. You think about the last few games for Penn State, Maryland, who they dominated, played Oregon really well in the Big Ten Championship, then just destroyed SMU. And then against Boise, controlled this entire game. Honestly, probably had too many mistakes in this one, or it would have been even more of a blowout. So I think this is a Penn State team playing really well at the right time. And, man, I mean, I don't know what the spread will be on Georgia and Notre Dame, but I think it's going to be pretty close. And we're going to get a Penn State-Georgia and Notre Dame matchup, which will be really cool for college football. But I'm happy for Penn State, happy for Drew Aller. I think we've seen him play confident. And ultimately, Tyler Warren, their best player, you know, played his best in the biggest game Penn State's played this season, Fitz.
Yeah, the funny thing to me is, guys, like, I know sometimes it's our job to have a take or an angle or something big and just decisive to say out of a game. I walked away from this game saying I didn't see a single thing I didn't expect. So I don't know that there's a huge takeaway, because realistically, this was a pretty good version of who Boise State's been all year. I've watched a lot of Boise State. I don't think this was Boise State playing poorly. I just think this is Boise State was not a good matchup for Penn State. The better team won here. And frankly, the least surprising part of this is that, to me, is that Penn State came in with the game plan to shut down Ashton Jeanty and essentially said, hey, Boise State, you're going to have to throw your way to victory. That wasn't going to happen. This game had moments that it felt close, but it never felt like Penn State was in jeopardy here. The bigger, faster, stronger, better football team won. And I don't, there's nothing shocking about that to me, Caroline.
There was nothing. Boise State did not play a horrific game, but Boise State needed to play a perfect game to beat Penn State. And that is not what they did. They had opportunities. Frankly, you're going to look at the final score and you're going to see yet another double-digit wide margin of victory college football playoff game. And if there are people out there that are partying on New Year's Eve and didn't get a chance to watch this game, they'll probably wake up tomorrow morning and say, Penn State just blew them out. Well, Boise State had opportunities. They just didn't take them. Boise State had three trips to within the Penn State 30-yard line, and they got 0 points out of it. You miss a field goal on the opening drive. Well, that's just a killer, but it's not the end of the world. And then Mattis Maxon has a pick at, what, the Penn State 28-yard line? So that's not only an opportunity that you gift-wrapped to Penn State, that's also an opportunity that was taken away from you. And then, obviously, the final field goal that was missed as well. So that's 13 points.
But isn't
Boise State
that
could have had, and they didn't. And it was a, math is hard, 16-point game. 17-point game.
I will say this, though, Carolyn, because you're right. Everything you just said is so true. But at some point, part of the identity of what Penn State is doing right now is they're creating the mistakes that are being made. Not missed kicks, fine. But that interception, I mean, what did we say last? We came into this game saying there's no way that they're going to gift points like Jennings did last week. And what do you know? They sort of give points. Like, these mistakes happen against this defense because I think this defense just stresses you out a lot of different ways. So then you have quarterbacks playing outside of themselves when they're trying to make plays that aren't there to be made. So, Adam, like, on the one hand, yeah, like, I think part of this is you can't get that deep into the field and not come away with points. But I do think we got to sit back and say part of this is that Penn State's defense is somewhere between opportunistic and like the forced fumble on Ashton Jeanty in the first half where Jeanty pops the ball out and they have the awareness to pick that ball up. Like, that's not just a mistake by Ashton Jeanty. That's a great play by Penn State's defense. And I don't know where the line is on that.
This is a Penn State defense that's one of the top three in the country. I mean, how they played all season long, the way their front seven played. Fitz, the most impressive thing Penn State's done all season long, of all the games they played, is to stop Ashton Jeanty in this game with Abdul Carter being out for the majority of the game. That is by far the best feat Penn State's defense has had. The way Denai Dennis Sutton played, the way Tony Rojas played, Dom DeLuca, their front seven was dominant and got vertical penetration this entire game on Boise State's offensive line, and then made big plays. Zakee Wheatley was the Fiesta Bowl MVP on defense. Had two turnovers for Penn State. Really a great example in college football of sticking out. Was the third safety a year ago at Penn State. Could have transferred anywhere in the country. Stayed, and now Fiesta Bowl MVP, going to play in the semifinals. Really cool story. But came to play in this game. Had those two turnovers and force those big plays. But Penn State also allowed Boise State to stay in this game more than they should have. It was a 14-0 game. Penn State had the ball to go up 21-0, and Drew Aller fumbled the exchange with Katron Allen. Until that, it looked like this thing was going to be over. It looked like it was going to be 21-0 really fast. So I think there's things to look at if you're Penn State and say, this needs to be better. But I really look at what was impressive, and it's stopping Ashton Jeanty, who no one in college football has done all year long. Oregon couldn't do it. No one could do it. Maybe UNLV at some level in their one game, Fitz. But Penn State's the only program that could do it. And the other part I really like to see that had me encouraged about Penn State moving on in the playoff is Penn State started fast in this game. And that's exactly what they had to do. They started fast and played well early. And it allowed them to cruise to victory. And starting fast also allowed them to overcome some of those mistakes that would have been a lot bigger in a closer game. But because they got out to a hot start, Caroline, you mentioned the missed field goal from Boise State. Because they took advantage of that, went down and scored. Drew Aller threw that beautiful touchdown pass to Tyler Warren in the back of the end zone. That fast start gave Penn State the advantage from the very beginning in this one.
And a beautiful catch from Tyler Warren.
Yeah, yes, I agree. Better catch than throw, down. I should have said.
Yeah, better catch than throw, yeah.
A better catch than throw. And I'll give Drew Aller his flowers because he had several good throws tonight. But that first catch, his first of two that Tyler Warren had the end zone, it was beautiful. But it was very obvious watching the game. I was here and watching at home. It was very obvious what Penn State's game plan was, defensively and just overall. We will not let Ashton Jeanty beat us. And it was very, very clear how little action he got, especially in the first half. And he had popped off a couple of big ones in the fourth quarter. But overall, for the majority of the game, that was not an Ashton Jeanty kind of game. And sure, he had over 100 rushing yards, but 3.5 yards per carry. Like, that's not even close to what we're used to seeing from Ashton Jeanty. So it was so obvious watching the game. And it was so obvious talking to some of the Penn State players after the game. There's a Penn State player walking to the locker room, yelling and shouting. I'm not going to call him out by name because I'm not going to throw anyone under the bus here.
Come on.
But he was yelling and shouting, Jeanty who? Jeanty who? Everybody thought that Jeanty was going to come in here and run all over us. Jeanty who? And then I talked to Jalen Reed postgame, Penn State safety, and he spent about 45 seconds to a minute giving Ashton Jeanty his flowers, how much they respected Ashton Jeanty, how much film they watched on Ashton Jeanty, just how much this Penn State team, this Penn State defense respected Ashton Jeanty enough to say, not against us. We saw what you were able to do against Oregon. We saw what you were able to do against every other team on your schedule, and you're not going to do that against us. And it's one thing for that to be your game plan. That's everyone's game plan, is to stop Ashton Jeanty, but it's a lot easier said than done. Penn State's defense, to their credit, was able to actually talk the talk that they were able to walk.
Which, by the way, y'all, continues the theme that I will say for every playoff game we've seen so far, and I believe by the time we finish this week, it'll be the same thing. Win the line of scrimmage, you win. I mean, you mentioned, Adam, Boise State's offensive line. Like, this was just a mismatch, right? Just besides athleticism, all these different things, it was a mismatch. And they didn't win the line of scrimmage. Win the line of scrimmage, you win. That it's that simple. And that's why sometimes when we have these hard conversations about Group of Five schools, as much as I love where Group of Five schools are and how important they are to the college football structure, win the line of scrimmage 99 out of 100 times, that's going to be won by a school that has guys that are bigger, faster, stronger. It's what happened in this game. Win the line of scrimmage, you win football games. Boise State didn't stand a chance at winning the line of scrimmage. That's why I thought it was going to be an easy win for Penn State. It wasn't as easy a win as I thought it was going to be. But Adam, I'll go back to, there was never a time in this game that I thought Penn State was, you know, on the edge of losing this football game. They had it under control.
Yeah, it felt close throughout, but still 31-14 win, 17 points. You know, what was the final line? 11.5. So pretty big win by Penn State. And I think made plays when they had to and then ultimately got stops at the end of the game. And like Penn State always has done throughout this season, their run game can just put the game to bed. I mean, the 58-yard Nick Singleton touchdown was the game-sealing play that ended the game completely. So Penn State has a formula for how they win. Caroline, how was a lot more Boise State fans and Penn State fans? What was the vibe like in the stadium? Was it packed or not really?
It was, I would say the stadium was probably like 90% packed. The nosebleed seats at the very top, like there were entire sections that weren't full, but I would say the two lower bowls, like the 100 and 200 levels, were completely packed. I would say I would give the attendance advantage a little bit to Boise State. Like, I was pretty surprised. Like, the Penn State fans, it was absolutely packed on the Penn State side, and they were loud, and they were into it. I did feel like, especially in the first quarter, when Boise State missed the field goal, and then Penn State came out with a touchdown, and they came out to a 14-0 lead once they were able to get a touchdown on that next possession, the Penn State crowd was really affecting the game, it felt like. But the Boise State fans, they showed out. They absolutely showed out. I would say there were more Boise State fans by just a hair, by a smidge, but it was noticeable. And whenever Boise State started to get back into it, when it felt like a little bit, like when Boise State fumbled in the first half, Boise State fumbled, you could see like the full Boise State sideline. It was just like the shoulders were drooping and you kind of felt it like, oh, this is going to be ugly, isn't it? And then once Penn State fumbled back, and then once Boise State was able to find the end zone, and it was a 14-7 game, I believe, at that point, you could really feel the Boise State crowd get into it. So it was an awesome environment. It was an absolute blast. It was great.
Just awesome. Wish that it had been at a home. So I'm still going to die on the same hill, Adam. Like, we're one playoff game into this week, and I watched it, and the first thing I thought was, man, it felt so much more special last weekend. It did, because it was on campuses. Like, I watching this, I'm like, I know, I understand the bowl magic, I get it, but like, I don't know, just would have loved to have seen that on the blue field at Boise. If we're gonna give them that home game, then give them that home game.
And to double down on this, Fitz, I just still can't believe that Boise State sitting here with a first round playoff bye and then loses by 17 points to Penn State, who was, what, the sixth seed in the playoff, and meanwhile Oregon has to play at Oregon first. Playoff game as the number one seed, undefeated, is an underdog to Ohio State. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But hey, I think it'll be fixed pretty soon. But the whole first round bye thing for conference champs, not entirely feasible for college football.
And we might see another one on Wednesday morning.
Yeah, I think we will.
I think that we will. And if I can, you know, kind of poo poo on the parade just a little bit. Why is Penn State not running the ball on every single down? Why is Penn State running it on first and 10, running it on second and 5, was it? And then throwing it on third and 1? Like every time they threw the football, I was like, just run it. Just run it. You have two of the best backs in the country.
Yeah, I think I've summed up my thoughts about Andy Kotelnicki about, it's kind of like, you live and you die by the gunslinger. You know, like when you have a quarterback that forces a lot of big throws, it can make some big plays, but he also does some things where you're like, what are you doing? Like, don't throw that throw. where like Andy Kotelnicki is so creative and so innovative and loves to do so much stuff that sometimes it's not good. There was a third down in like three. Penn State was backed up on the 20. They ran some like throwback pass, reverse, didn't work. Then Caroline, you're talking about, I think it was third and one. They tried to throw the play action. Drew Aller threw an incomplete pass. They didn't get it, ended up having to punt. And I'm like, why are we not just running fullback dive or inside zone? But you kind of got to let Andy Kotelnicki be Andy Kotelnicki, or it doesn't work. You got to let him kind of do what he does. And it's all the creative formations and the shifts and putting linemen out at receiver. And it works a lot of time. But then if you're going to be happy when it works, you can't also be pissed then when it doesn't work every now and then. You kind of got to let him do what he does. But I mean, I'm getting texts from all the old school football fans. My dad's texting me. Play calling sucks. Why don't we run the football? You know how it is.
Always aren't, but it is. I understand you got to let the gunslinger be the gunslinger, but it's 3rd and 1. Run hits. Just run. Don't
it's
keep
so easy.
With
so
it.
Easy.
KISS, Andy. Keep it simple, stupid. We don't need to be running any of these cute things on 3rd and 1. But again, Penn State takes a 31-14 in the Fiesta Bowl. It's New Year's Eve. So who dropped the ball? Coming up next. Is dropping, at least wherever you are in the world. Where I am in Phoenix, we've got about an hour and a half. It's New Year's where you guys are, Fitz and Adam. So in the New Year's Eve spirit, as the ball is dropping, Fitz, I will start with you. Who dropped the ball tonight?
Jonah Dalmas, the kicking game for Boise State. And look, I don't like picking on kickers. I don't. And particularly, I try not to. I'm not the guy that sits there and says, you got one job, because like life is never that simple, right? Like there's a reason why even great NBA players sometimes miss a free throw. Even great NFL kickers sometimes miss gimmies. There's a lot of pressure on a kid, you know, in these bowl games. Like I find a lot of reasons to sit there and say, hey, kickers are people too. But then I watch this and I think, God, how different this game feels. Like, as we've referenced, the final score is 31-17. Let's keep in mind that 31-17 came after a big touchdown after a missed field goal. Like, this was very close in the fourth quarter to feeling much like Adam was almost going to be puckered up in the fourth quarter. But when you can't make a field goal, you don't have to worry about it. So the ball was dropped by the Boise State kicking game, unfortunately.
Fitz starts the segment saying, I don't like to call out the kickers. I like the kickers, and then just sh** on the kicker and calls them out by name and this drop the ball segment on New Year's Eve.
There is also a moment.
Names them.
I mean, he's going to put his name on his jersey, then we get to talk about it.
And he's probably getting a nice NIL check to be the kicker at Boise State, too.
Is he?
Listen, maybe.
What's nice for Boise, cost of living isn't the same in Boise as it is other places. Yeah,
true. Fitz, I agreed. I mean, he that kicker makes those two kicks, especially early in the game. It's a different game and much closer all throughout.
The wild thing is, too, he came into this game. He missed 3 kicks all season long, and one of them was from like 55. And, so he missed 3 kicks in 13 games, and all of a sudden you missed 2 in the most important game of your career?
And kicking in the easiest stadium to kick in Glendale, Arizona, and not have to worry about a single weather condition ever. I'll go one step further there on for Boise State. I'll say their offensive line dropped the ball, and I know that it was a tough challenge. Listen, tough challenge, I get it, but you're a first-round playoff bye team in the first 12-team playoff era. Your offensive line's got to play better. They failure from a run-blocking standpoint, couldn't handle Penn State's defensive front at all. Again, didn't expect them to, but 3.5 yards of carry was never going to win this game. Pass protection issues, their O-line allowed pressure on Madsen all day when Boise State was forced to throw the football. And then critical penalties that their offensive line had. Drive-killing penalties, holding calls, hands to the face, were some false starts. So I thought those mistakes showed a lack of discipline that we hadn't seen all season long by Boise State's O-line. It was going to be on the Boise State line to set the tone of this game, and they didn't do it. And ultimately, that's what led to Penn State dominating.
A little bit of a credit here, again, to the Penn State defensive line, because when we talk about offensive line holding penalties, the first thing I think is, man, you're holding for a reason. Like, you're getting beat, so you're just holding on. Hands to the face sometimes is just, You know, it's a matter of like you've got an offensive lineman that's out of position and his hands get too high, right? Like false start. How much of that is because you know what's coming at you and you're starting to get a little bit nervous, got to get that extra kick. So like I do think some of the reason these – like it's easy for us to look at it and say we can't commit penalties. But also part of the reason the penalties are being committed is because, frankly, if you ain't cheating, you ain't going to be able to keep up with the guy against you. Like I felt like that throughout the course of this game. So I'm with you, Adam. I did feel like the offensive line wasn't good enough. I didn't give them the ball drop necessarily simply because them getting beat that way was kind of what I expected. Again, it feels like I'm being harsh on Boise State. I'm not. Hell of a season for Boise State. But also, if I have to tell you I'm not being harsh, I'm probably being harsh. So I'll admit it.
Yeah, no offense, but then you say something incredibly
offensive. If you have to start with no offense, it's not going to be good.
It's not going to be nice. And you're going to take offense to it. I guess I will use that as my who didn't drop the ball. I feel the need to say this. If we're going to say the Boise State offensive line dropped the ball, which I think is a very fair critique and a very true statement, it's not fair of us to say that Ashton Jeanty dropped the ball. I've seen a lot of discourse about that on social media. I even saw Albert Breer responding to tweets about what does this game do to Ashton Jeanty's draft stock and how Ashton Jeanty couldn't step up when it mattered most. I don't know how y'all felt, but I didn't step away from this game saying, wow, Ashton Jeanty really, you know, kind of let his team down. Wow, Ashton Jeanty had a really bad showing. I think that this was an Boise State offensive line that was just completely outmatched by a Penn State defensive line that is one of the best in the country. And as soon as Ashton Jeanty even sniffed a football, there were 9 guys in the box ready to take him down. So there's only so much that Ashton Jeanty can do. There is only so much that a Boise State offensive line can run block for when they're just out-physicaled, out-sized, outmatched, out-talented. I don't view this as a loss that's on Ashton Jeanty's shoulders.
I'd love to see what the yards before contact are on this one. Because to your point, Caroline, like there were a couple of times on the first drive, there were a couple of times he was having essentially jump cut 3 yards in the backfield to try and get around the people that were already at his ankles. What the hell do we want? Like he you can't run through that.
Yeah. The true stat, and it's something PFF probably tracks, similar to the yards after contact fits, is really at what point on the run, how many yards in do you make your first cut? And I think Jeanty's was probably in the backfield for most of the night. I mean, listen, he still had 100 yards, still had 20-some yards receiving, almost 130 total yards of offense. Just wasn't as dominant as he's normally been. And the issue for Boise State and Jeanty is when your supporting cast is as average as Ashton Jeanty's supporting cast is at Boise, then you have to be extremely elite in every game you play. And he wasn't tonight. And I think that's the truth. He was good. He was maybe even a better than good at times, but he wasn't good enough to beat Penn State. So I don't think this will hurt Ashton Jeanty's draft stock at all. Disappointing. He didn't get to break the record, but unbelievable career and really a once in a generation type of season he's had.
It's, I think, an indication of just how much of a game wrecker he is when he has 130 total yards of offense in a game and the entire Twitter brigade steps out and says, scrub, only 130 yards. Lame. Yeah,
no doubt.
All right, Adam, I defer to you for this one. Next time we see Penn State, it'll be in 2025 in the Orange Bowl in Miami. It will take on the winner of Notre Dame, Georgia. What's your New Year's resolution for Penn State as they head into the college football playoff semifinal?
Ooh, New Year's resolution. Penn State needs to just be a little bit more efficient on offense. There were times in this game where Penn State could have ended it for Boise State and just let them hang around. You think about the turnover when Penn State was up 14-0. You think about some of the offensive laws from, you know, there were some stretches in this game where their offense stalled. They had a few punts in the middle of the game allowing Boise State to hang around when they shouldn't have. There were some drops on offense for Penn State. You know, the kind of consistent theme of the lack of not having an elite receiver that can get open one-on-one that's not Tyler Warren. I thought there were moments where the offensive line didn't get the push they should have in the game. Now, there were also moments where they did, but some of those short yardage plays, Penn State did not get the push they should have against a group of five team. And then at times, as we talked about, Caroline, the play calling, I think you can be a little bit less gimmicky in these moments where Penn State should be able to just run the football and win at the line of scrimmage. And then finally, I think about the red zone, and you know there were a couple red zone moments, a couple plays in the red zone. Penn State had to settle for a field goal one of those trips that I felt Penn State could have been better and more efficient. So overall, Penn State's offense just needs to play a more cohesive game. And really, you eliminate that turnover by Drew Aller on the fumble. And we're probably not even saying that. But there were that combined with some of those laws in the middle of the game in the second and third quarter that kept Boise State in it. And some of those, just a little bit of some inaccuracy from Drew Aller. That I think he was almost 50% completion rate, which isn't very good, despite some of the great throws he's made. Gives me maybe, you know, I'm not concerned, but just I want to see them get better before they have to play Notre Dame or Georgia, two of the best defenses in the nation.
Those are all fair things to say, Adam. But quickly here, I'll just add, if I had a New Year's resolution for Penn State, it wouldn't actually be for the football team. It'd be for the fans. At what point are Penn State fans going to step back and just enjoy what they got? You know what you have? Two playoff wins, right? And no matter what happens moving forward, this conversation like James Franklin can't do this or offense didn't do that. Like, if you cannot enjoy the ride, what is the purpose of all of it? I understand, I think, better than most, because I do what I do because of my fandom of a particular team, right? Like, I understand that fandom rules our soul at some point. But at some point, when you are on a heater, enjoy the heater. This is a team that has now advanced two rounds in the college football playoff. And we all know damn well, if they go into the next game and they lose, there are going to be Penn State fans that call for James Franklin's head because all they did was beat SMU and Boise State, right? Like, at what point, like, what? When is this all worth it, if not now? My New Year's resolution for Penn State would be for their fans to enjoy a ride that now has them all the way into two playoff wins. Like, that's incredible. In the expanded playoffs, you got two wins. Enjoy the damn ride.
That sounds logical.
Logical. But... yeah.
And it sounds nice. And I'm with you that what is this all about if we all don't just enjoy it every once in a while? One team every single year wins a national championship. So it's not like 132 other teams are just going to be miserable for the next 364 days until the next national championship. But that will be the narrative of you can beat the Boise States and the SMUs, but you can't beat the Notre Dames and the Georgias.
You can't beat,
if you can't beat the Notre Dames and the Georgias, then you can't win a national championship.
I'm just going to throw up in my mouth when that happens.
Well,
God.
Listen, but James Franklin's got another chance to end it all the narrative in the Orange Bowl. Georgia or Notre Dame, you beat them. That's never said again about James Franklin.
Yeah, until he loses a national championship. And then there'll be a whole group of fans like, can't win the Natty.
I don't know. I think you beat Georgia or Notre Dame and get to the Natty, and that, and I don't think the Penn State fans are complaining anymore.
I hope you're right.
I asked Katron Allen after the game, I said, how closely are you going to be watching that Notre Dame-Georgia game tomorrow? And he was like, I might tune in, you know, a little bit. And they like smirked at the camera. I was like, oh, I know that they've got their popcorn ready and they are sitting down just ready to see who their opponent is in the Orange Bowl. So it's going to be a good one. It's going to be a fun one. It's going to be a blast of a day of games tomorrow. We'll have a full recap of Arizona State, Texas, Oregon, Ohio State, and the Rose Bowl, which just feels like the most chef's kiss, perfect college football game. And the Notre Dame, Georgia rounds out the action tomorrow. So we will be back on January 2nd with a full reaction to all of those games. What went right? What went wrong? And of course, we'll look ahead to the college football playoff semifinals as well. But that's going to do it for us today. He's Adam Brenneman. You can follow him on Twitter at AdamBrenneman81. I'm sure there's going to be zero Penn State excitement over there on Adam's Twitter. So, stay tuned for that. You can follow him on Twitter at Jason Fitz, and you can find me at CarolineFenton1. And you can find us on the pod on your preferred podcast platform, yahoosports.com. You can also find us on the Yahoo Sports YouTube page. So give us a like, give us a subscribe, a review, a comment, all of those great things wherever you listen to us. Tell a friend, tell an enemy, tell a Penn State fan. We'll be back Wednesday morning with a full reaction to all of the remaining quarterfinal action. We're out. Happy New Year, everyone.